open up in a word of prayer, and once again, thank you for being here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today, thankful for the opportunity to come into your house. Thank you for the church that you've given us here, and Lord, thank you for that, the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and died for the church, and Lord, how you instituted it. You know the importance of it. You know, even in your word, you tell us not to forsake it. And God, we're excited about what you can do here today, because your word's going to be present. Lord, you're going to be present. And Lord, we're just asking you to work in our hearts and lives. Thankful for all the opportunities we have. But Lord, there's nothing like being church. And Lord, I know there are some that are just watching through live stream, not able to get here, or some that still are not comfortable about being here. And Lord, we pray that you work in their hearts and you work in their lives today through the same preaching and teaching, using the same Holy Spirit. God, we're looking forward to what you have planned for us in the future. We pray for our country. We see all the craziness that's going around. And Lord, it's just a time where you can show yourself strong. And Lord, in your word, you say you're looking for someone to show yourself strong through. And Lord, the person who has their heart that's right with you, or her person who has a perfect heart, help us as believers and Christians to live a life that you can bless and that you can show yourself strong through. Once again, Lord, we're asking you for your help during the service time. Lord, we pray that everything that's done here today would be honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, that you would be pleased with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start off our service a little bit different this morning. And Mr. Jim doesn't even know. I think that today is Flag Day. And so because of that, we're going to say our Pledge of Allegiance. There's a lot of people in the world today that are struggling with, should I kneel during the national anthem or should I do this or not? But here at Faith Baptist Church, we're thankful for our heritage and thankful for our patriotism. So we're going to start off by saying by having the Pledge of Allegiance to our American flag. So let's just go ahead and stand. And then Brother Jim's going to come lead us in our song and our theme song. Brother Jim, you want to come?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing and let's sing our theme song together. Have the words up on the screen. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
If you can remain standing, turn to number 115 in your songbook, or you can sing from the screen. If you're at home or some other place, please sing with us. Join us. All verses. Number 115, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Pretty song. What a wonderful thought. You know, he gave his life for mine, and it's our reasonable service to give our life to him. And so if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he saved us, and we should be willing to do what he's called us to do, and that's giving of ourselves to him and being his servant. Thank you, Batemans, for singing that. Just a couple quick announcements. Let's see here. Birthdays of the week. It's Mr. Reed's birthday this week on the 16th, Robin Workman's birthday on the 17th, Marcia Greger on the 17th, and Betty Oakley's birthday on the 20th. So happy birthday to all of them. Also, Jimmy and Mary Jo Westbrook's anniversary on the 14th, and Jack and Laura Arnold's anniversary on the 19th. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to all of them. We do have a business meeting next Sunday night after church, after the evening service. Today is Promotion Sunday. So I know because all the kids are kind of grouped together today for the next few weeks because of the virus stuff and wanting to be able to social distance. That doesn't mean a lot to some, but a few of them are going up to the youth group, and I know that they had that part of that teen class this morning. Also, we have a couple of new classes starting next week. We're having something called a young ladies class and a young men's class. Mr. Lyman, Todd Lyman, is going to be teaching the young men's class. It's for the ages about 15 to 25. And Mrs. Barbara Lyman is going to be teaching the young ladies' class, same type of age group, 15 to 25. And now the younger teenagers, Mrs. Colvin, the younger teenage girls, Mrs. Colvin is going to be teaching. So there will be opportunities for them. And the young adult class, the one that Mr. Bateman has taught very faithfully the last few years and done a good job with, we're going to begin that again next week, and that's going to be inside the old fellowship hall. There is going to be one change. I'm going to start teaching that class for a little while, and so it's for all young adults. And you say, what's a young adult? Well, pretty much we're not going to throw anybody out, but it goes up to probably, you know, if you have kids in the house. And also for those that are from 18 to 25 or 18 to 30, I know they have the class there for them for a little while, but that's only a smaller class, a shorter class, only for about 8 weeks. So and it's that type of age group, anywhere between 18 to 45 to 50, if you have children in the house, that type of age group. We're going to have a good time. I encourage you to come and try it out next week. We're going to have a new book. Everybody's going to actually get a book, and we're going to be going through a book together. So that's for a young adult class, and that starts next Sunday morning in the old fellowship hall. Out here, we're going to have for the rest of the adults, Missionary Alan Berry has started his series this morning in Hebrews. I was in the back with the kids, but I'm sure he did a good job this morning, and looking forward to how he's going to be teaching that class for a number of weeks too. So exciting things going on around Faith Baptist Church. Now, we have not had fellowships yet because of the fact all the virus and all the different people and the different feelings, but on July 12th, we're going to have a graduation fellowship. Andrew graduated this year from high school. Every year we have a graduation fellowship, usually around the 1st of June. It's a Sunday night fellowship where we celebrate his graduation. So that's July 12th. For those that feel comfortable and want to be here, we'll give you a little bit more details coming up, but we even push it back a little bit farther just to make sure everybody feels safe and comfortable coming. But July 12th, you can put that on your schedule. We're going to have a graduation fellowship that Sunday evening after the service. But thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for those that are visiting with us. We pray you get a blessing from the service.
Our last song is number 44, I Am Thine, O Lord. I Am Thine, O Lord. Singing verses 1, 3, and 4, I Am Thine, O Lord. Please stand with me as we sing. Number 44.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and been told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Precious bleeding side.
Verse 3.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
And the last.
There are depths of love that I cannot know when I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
You may be seated.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, don't is almost sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and he'll lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter number 46. Psalms chapter number 46. There was a couple announcements I did not say I'd like to mention now. It's mostly directed to teenagers and their families. Tonight after church, we are going to have an afterglow for the teenagers and their families and the Brandenburg family together so they can get to know each other. So for the teenagers and their families, if they'd like to come and be a part of that, to get to know the Brandenburg family. And I think it's a wonderful thing, a good opportunity. Also, on Friday night, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Edenton is having a youth night. Our church is not specifically taking a vehicle there, but I did tell them I would announce it. They're having a youth night. They usually at youth night they give away free pizza and they have a little bit of games and some preaching, and it's open to anybody. I know it's called youth night, but they open it up to anyone that would like to come. So that's Friday night. I think it's at 7 o'clock. We've attended them before. They're usually a lot of fun, and I encourage you to go and be a part of that if you like to. So that is Friday night at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Edenton, North Carolina. Questions about that, I'm sure you can look on their website, or you can text Pastor Keeter and get any information you need. So tonight here at the church for the teenagers and their families, and have a little bit of an afterglow, and then also Friday night, don't forget about that youth night at a local church here. Psalms chapter number 46, and when you come to this passage of scripture, it's a great help. And a lot of people, sometimes people would say this is their favorite passage. You know, if we went across it, Psalms is my favorite psalm. It's some familiar verses. You look at verse number one, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You go down and you look at verse number 10. There's that phrase that so many people know and have even written on my wall. It says, be still and know that I am God. So this morning, as we are kind of continuing in our series, Behold Your God, we've talked a little bit on a Wednesday night, also looked at God's thoughts versus your thoughts last Sunday night, and today we're going to look at a little bit about a very present help, and hear how God is a very present help to us. And I want to encourage you today, in the day and time that we live in the moments that we live in today, there's a lot of craziness going on. There's a lot of upheaval, a lot of uneasiness. And some people are like, what in the world am I supposed to do? And sometimes people are speaking out. Sometimes people are lashing out. And I'm not saying at all that you need to remain completely silent, but I am telling you that we need to learn how to let the Lord lead us and guide us. And when it says verse number 10, it says, be still. That means that we're supposed to actually stop. And we're actually supposed to take time to do what? It says, and know that I'm God. There is a God that we serve that is greater than any of our problems. There is a God that we serve that can do all things. And there's a God here in this passage of Scripture that teaches us some wonderful truths about how he will protect us, he will guide us, and he will lead us. But he's also one that we must take time to remember that he is the one in charge and that he is God. One of the challenging things in a day and time that we live in is, you know what? There's craziness going on and everything's so busy. And what do we usually miss taking time to do? One of the strongest things that we miss is one of the things we need the most. We need to spend time alone with God. There is no replacing Bible study, Bible reading, praying, not just praying, meditation, not just meditation, but also listening to God and recognizing who God is. And so part of the idea behind the series, I believe that God has led us to a little bit, and we've done, like I said, one on Wednesday night, one on Sunday night, and I don't know if this is technically an attribute or this is technically a characteristic, but this is something that I think we need to take some time and look at. And in the book of Isaiah, there was all these things going on, and he said, behold your God. He said, look at all these different things that are going on. Now, look at your God, and your God is greater than all these things. And I think in this day and time, if we will take time to look at who God is and see who God is and remember who God is and meditate on who God is, we're going to have a whole different outlook. I see people, even good Christians, that are being challenged in their thinking and the way they look at things, and they're reacting in ways that is flesh driven. You cannot live the Christian life in a fleshly way. We're still doing our teen/young adult Bible studies, and this past Friday, the associate pastor from People's Baptist Church, Brother Doug Weber, he preached in the book of Galatians talking about how God wanted dead men, talking about being dead to the flesh and alive to Christ. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, he did a good job, and it's an encouragement, it's a help. We can't live the Christian life in our flesh. We can't do things on our own. And John chapter 15, he talks about abiding in Christ. We cannot accomplish anything spiritually in our own strength unless we're abiding in him. So as we are facing these things and we want to take stands, and we want to take strong stands, and we want to do what is right, and we want to live for God, and we want to know what the next steps is, how are you going to know how to do those things? You're going to have to be still. I love in the story that Pharaoh is there and he's chasing the children of Israel. And they're there and they bring him out to the Red Sea, and they're there and the Red Sea's there and they're in front of them. And the nation of Israel, they get upset. They get worried. They start complaining to Moses. Isn't this what we told you back in Egypt? And they're going to kill us. They're going to take us back. And why couldn't you just leave us alone? And what did Moses tell them? Moses told them to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, yes, there is all these things that are coming, and Pharaoh was coming, and all the chariots were coming, and they were coming to take them back. And in front of them was, over there was the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was coming, and they're there, and they're worried. Of course they're worried. They're overwhelmed. And he says, look, settle down. Yes, the things that are going on in the world does seem like they're overwhelming. Yes, they do seem like there's no end, but don't forget who God is. And the importance of being still. Pastor, it's hard to be still when things are problems. It's hard to be still when everything inside you wants to react, and everything inside you wants to react in a fleshly way. But it's not just about being still. It's understanding, and it says in verse number 10, and know that I am God. So when you take time to be still and you think and you meditate and you concentrate on the things of who God is and how he is in control. If you look even a little bit earlier, and I don't want to get in ahead of myself, but you look at what it says in verse number 8, it says, come behold the works of the Lord. It says, be still and know that I'm God. A few verses earlier, he says, now look, come. Now behold the works of the Lord. And when we think about beholding the works of the Lord, what do you consider? You consider the Red Sea. You consider David versus Goliath. You consider how God protected Daniel in the lion's den, how God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. This morning's lessons in our junior church and our Sunday school hour, they've been about how God protects us and how God is able to take care of us. The object lesson this morning was about a bunch of different animals, how God had made them a certain way to protect them. And there were some cool illustrations, even how our own body is used to protect us, how the skull protects the brain and how our skin protects, all different types of things that God made us certain ways on purpose to help protect us. But there's a greater protection we need than that. You know, the car accident's not going to protect, the skin's not going to protect you from something that's like a car accident or a hammer to the skull. There's going to be a problem there. You need God's protection. And here, when you learn this and you see this and you understand it, it's just like Moses. Now settle down here. Now see the salvation of the Lord. And it seems like later on in that passage that Moses kind of goes and is crying out to God and asking God for help. And God's like, hey, get up. Move forward. There is something to be done. You've taken your time. You stilled the people. You've gone to God. Now let's move forward. Let's do what we've accomplished. Let's do what we're setting you up for. And then he parts the Red Sea, and God does something amazing. He said, well, that's back in the Bible time. We serve the same God today. And God can still do the same things today, and God can still work in our hearts. And I tell you, the Red Sea looked crazy. The Egyptian looked crazy, and they're sitting there. But I look at where Christians are sitting today, and you look all around, how am I supposed to look? How am I supposed to react? How am I supposed to, all those different things, and we're in a mess. So we need to take some time to stand still, to be still, not just be still, but to know that he's God. We're not God. We can't accomplish these things on our own. So let's go ahead and read the entire passage, the whole entire chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. I want to spend most of my time today considering the presence of God. Considering the presence of God. And I think we're just going to, as we read through, we're going to give some commentary on certain verses just to try to help the lesson go along, but to help us connect the dots. First thing you see here, God is our refuge. You use the word refuge, you think of a shelter. And God is our refuge. God is, for a believer, for a Christian, he promises he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. But he also, he says here, and strength, a very present help in trouble. So he says, look, I'm the one that can protect you. I'm the shelter. And it's crazy. If there was a storm coming and there was a hurricane coming, we're familiar with hurricanes. You know, if there's a place of shelter, that's a good thing. But why would you run away from that place of shelter? That would be ridiculous. If there's something that's set up, there's a place of shelter that's there, there's a place that you can run to, there's a place that will keep you safe. And it would be ridiculous when the first hurricane we were here. Now we're pros at hurricanes. They don't bother us at all. We go outside and sit and watch them. The first hurricane we came, we were in the nursery because, you know, the nursery over there, it's a brick building. We weren't going to let anything hurt our one-year-old or three-year-old. And I went out there a couple of times. I went out there and I looked out the door. Just because I want to see what's going on. My wife's like, what are you doing? And I says, I'm just looking out the door. She's like, you're going to die. I think she said those exact words. She says, are you sure? You know, husbands, how your wife says, are you sure you should be doing that? And, you know, because we were really fearful. And hurricanes are not something you should mess with. Don't get me wrong. You should be willing and be a part of that shelter. But there's some people that are foolish that won't take the shelter and that won't take the safety. And they'll have hurricane parties. I mean, they'll get drunk and they'll sit there and say, I'll be okay. And they're the same people that need to be rescued later on. But imagine God is saying, look, I'm your refuge. I'm a place where you can find shelter, you can find help. But when we run from that shelter, we're being foolish. So God says here, he says, God is our refuge. He is our shelter. He can help protect us. But when we turn and we run from that shelter, it's a foolish thing to do. We need to let God take care of us. And how do we let God take care of us? By being in that place of blessing, by being right. And once again, God's not going to bless your mess. God's not going to let you go and act foolishly and have some type of hurricane party and say, okay, I'm going to protect you the way I can over here. No, you've gotten out of his graces. Let's keep on going. And not only does he says here, and I think it's interesting, God is our refuge, which speaking about outward, but also and strength. That speaks about inward. He gives us the grace to be able to handle what we need to. So the first point is the reality of his presence. The reality is his presence. How foolish it is for someone to run from shelter is the same thing to run away from God in times like these. It's foolish at any point in time, but more than anything, we need to learn to be still and know that he is God and be making sure that he is leading us and that he is guiding us and we are not leaning to our own understanding because our own understanding is getting mixed up. We're listening to our friends say this thing. We're letting listen to politicians say this thing. We're letting you know, it's craziness, all the different things that people have out there and that they're trying to say and trying to convince you of. And you're not right unless you agree with them. And you can't even speak unless you actually agree with what they're saying. They don't want to hear anything. So who do you need to hear from? You need to hear from God. He is your refuge. Not only is he refuge that he can take care of you outwardly, he's the one that's going to give you strength to handle. all the things that are going on in your life, the strength that's there and the strength that's in front of you, you need God's help. You need God's strength. Daniel couldn't handle the lions then by himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't handle the fiery furnace by himself. There is strength that needs to be happened. The nation of Israel could not handle the Egyptians and what was going to be happening. But Moses says, look, just be still. God brought you here. You're here for a reason and a purpose. Now be still. He said, and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know about you, but the day and time that we live in means that God's just going to show up greater. It's amazing what God's going to be able to do, how God's going to do amazing things. Now, will maybe God take his bride, take the church out of this world and see all the things? Maybe so. But if we're going to continue to live here in this world for this period of time, things are just going to get worse and worse. And a Christian and a believer is going to stand out more and more. So we're going to have to learn something more than anything else. We're going to learn who God is and realize that we're not God. And we need to listen to him and listen to his word and his direction and not let the world confuse us. Because there's confusing times in front of us. So he says, God is our refuge, shelter. And strength. He gives us the ability to live the Christian life. And this next phrase, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. And it reminds me of the presence of God. So that's where the first point is, the reality of his presence. And I think about this, and this is an encouragement to me as I've been studying and going through the different attributes and thoughts about God and been spending my private time a lot of times just learning about God. The amazing thing is God wants to spend time with us. I mean, we were created for fellowship. I don't know about you, but you consider that the God of the universe has made us available in a way to be able to pray with him, to be able to pray to him, and have his Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. He wants to spend time with us. Our sin separates our fellowship. It doesn't change our relationship, but it separates our fellowship that God wants to have a fellowship with you. I think that's amazing. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe. And he's saying he is a very present help. It's not just the fact that he can offer help. He is actually present. He is available. He is able to help you right now. The reason why is because he has said, I'm never going to leave thee. I'm never going to forsake thee. And it's not just a help that's somewhere in the distance or some mystical outward thing. No, he says he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's talking about it's personal. He's my refuge. He's our refuge. And here, the key factor is to live consciously in the presence of God. I think Clarence Sexton was the first person I heard say, live consciously in the presence of God, and that never left me. You know, I am in God's presence all the time. And if I would live consciously, knowing that God is watching and God can see and that I'm always in his presence, it will change the way I live. There are some things I would not do in front of my mom. Yeah. And once again, I'm not talking about telling dirty jokes or things like that. But with my mom there, I love my mom. I goof around sometimes. I'm silly sometimes. There's certain silly things I wouldn't do in front of my mom that maybe I would do with a bunch of teenagers. It's because my mom's there, and I respect her so much. I have a high opinion of my mom. She put up with me, and that is a challenge. And so every once in a while, every time we go home, you know what my mom tells my wife? Thank you for taking Brian. You can ask her, thank you for taking Brian. They like her better than they like me. I mean, that's a hard thing to understand. But it's the idea here. Where was I going with that? No, Jay. There are certain things I would not do around my mom because I respect her. But you know what? I live in the presence of God. And if I learn to live my life remembering that I'm in his presence, if I can't do it in front of my mom, I shouldn't be able to do it at all, right? If I wouldn't say that in front of a preacher, or if I wouldn't say that in front of somebody, you know what? You're saying it before God. So let's make sure we're living a holy life, and let's make sure that holiness matters to us, and that this presence of God makes a difference in our life. He is our refuge. It's a place to hide us, the strength that gives us the ability inwardly to take care of these things. If we consciously live in the presence of God, if we remember, he is a very present help in trouble. That trouble means that we're in a bind, we're in a fix, and this idea of, I need help today. And it's not something, oh, yeah, I'll give you help an hour down the road. I'll give you help a few hours from now. No, I need help now. And God is present and God is able. And because of that, there is a reality of his presence. I do not have to be afraid. Look what it says in verse number 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is the reality of his presence. Verses 2 and 3 speak about the resting in his presence. Some people look at that idea of the fact, well, I'm in God's presence all the time. I can't say this and I can't do that. And yes, it is a great motivation not to sin. It's a great motivation to live a holy life. But how much more should we embrace the presence of God and say, yeah, I'm in God's presence. If I have a need, he knows about that need. If I have a struggle, he hears my struggle. He knows it. He's been tempted in all points, just like as we are, but without sin. All those different things, if I'm in the presence of God, it is a resting thing. Yes, he does tell us to go to him. Yes, he does tell us to pray, just like he told blind Bartimaeus, you know, what will thou have me do for thee? Everybody knew he wanted to be healed. God wanted to hear, and Jesus wanted to hear Bartimaeus say, that I might receive my sight. He wanted him to say, God, I want you to do the supernatural. I want you to do the thing that I can't do. I want you to do the thing that only you can do and no one else can do for me. That's what prayer is. We go to God and say, God, I know you know about this need, but you tell me to come to you. And God, I'm leaving this to you because I don't want to fix this on my own. I can't do this on my own. You are my strength. You are my refuge. And it comes in verse number 2. How do we rest in that? How do we respond to that? Therefore will not we fear. So as it's going through here, he says, look, because God is my refuge, because he takes care of me outwardly, he gives me strength inwardly, and he is always present with me, I do not have to be afraid. I was talking about my mom a little bit ago. You talk about my dad. My dad was a police officer growing up. At the age of 7, 8, 9 years old, no one could take my dad. I mean, in my mind, at least. He's a police officer. He carried a gun. I thought he could beat anybody up. Now, looking back over the years, you know, I think, you know what? Well, my dad isn't really that big, and his gun, he's only got a couple. You know, as a kid, if I was with my dad, I wasn't afraid of anything. If I was walking around with my dad, yeah, hey, that's my dad. He's a police officer. I'm proud of my dad. You know, my dad can beat up your dad. If my dad can't beat up your dad, my dad can shoot your dad. So my dad's got this all under control. And because I was with my dad, I didn't have anything to be afraid. He locked up criminals. We lived in a fairly bad neighborhood, but nobody really messed with us. Why is that? Because my dad was a police officer. He knew most of them by name because he arrested a lot of them. So you come to this point, you come to this idea that because of that presence that my dad was with me, I wasn't afraid. You come to this point, if we live in the presence of God all the time, then what do I have to be afraid of? I could imagine that Peter, James, and John and his disciples, you see in the story about the storm that came up on them. When Jesus wasn't in the ship, they were afraid. But when Jesus was in the ship, they were okay. And they were willing to go out and preach and teach and do all those different things because they knew Jesus, when he was there and present with them, boy, he could do anything he wanted to. But when he wasn't there, you know what happens? They become fearful. So let's live consciously in the presence of God. And it's the idea of resting. Therefore will not we fear. We do not have to be afraid because the Lord is with us. His presence is there. And it continues. And it says, though the earth be removed. Imagine the worst thing in the world that can happen. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You think, what's some of the biggest, strongest things in the world? Mountains. You know, you're not going to move a mountain. And it says, even if they were moved into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then he says the word Selah. Now, this chapter is marked in three different ways. Number one, because there's three different Selahs, and that means take time to think about this. So the first thing in verses 1 and 3, hey, consider this. Think about this. God is your refuge. God is your strength. He is a very present help in trouble. He is there during your troubles. You do not have to be afraid. So his presence is there during times of trouble. So as a reality of his presence, next question is, are you going to rest in his presence? I see a lot of people and worried and upset and in upheaval because of all the things that are going on. And once again, there is things that we should stand up for, and there are things that we should be voicing our opinion about, and there are things that we should be doing, but we should be led in the Holy Spirit of God and all these things. We shouldn't just be acting in our flesh. We should not be posting things on whatever social media things that you have and saying this, this, and this. If you're doing in your flesh, you know what? Let God. Be God and let God take care of it. Be still and let him lead and direct you on it. So resting in his presence, even though the earth is removed, and even though the mountains are carried away, even though the midst of the sea, all those different things, you go back, I will not fear. Are you afraid today of something? And the scriptures, it teaches us that if God is with us, who can be against us? We can be more than conquerors. Now, let's keep on going. Not only do we see the reality of his presence, the resting in his presence, but think about the remarkableness of his presence. The remarkableness of his presence. You keep on reading, and you think about verse number 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, many people believe that's referring to future times and city of God, talking about heaven. And it says, God is in the midst of her. Not only is he here in your day of trouble, he's also going to be in your future too. And it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and the right that right early. Verse number 6, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Just think how remarkable that is. Even though there's people raging. Is there people raging today? There is. There are people who are raging. There are people that are upset. There's people that are angry on all different sides and for all different reasons. He says, even if the people are raging. And then he says, and he continues, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. If you consider the presence of God and what it means, it's remarkable because with God, all things are possible. And you keep on reading, and then it says, come behold the works of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get great faith by reading the Word of God. As you're reading the Word of God, and you see what he did for David, he can do for me. You see what he did for Daniel, he can do for me. You see what he did for Elijah, you see what he did for Moses, you see what he did for Abraham, you see what he did. He's the same God. He's not a respecter of persons. He has a plan, he has a will, he has a purpose. You know, whatever it is that he wants you to do, he can give you strength to do the will of God for your life. Problem is, are we resting in him? God is remarkable. His presence is remarkable. Whether we are here or we're 1,000 miles away, he's still with us. Whether it talks about whether it be in heaven or in the hells, he's there. Wherever it is, it's remarkable because his presence is with us. But consider what that means. It's somebody there with me that can take care of my problems. Someone there that with me that can help me throughout the way. So it's the remarkableness of his presence. Then it keeps on going. Come behold the works of the Lord. So you say, Pastor, okay, how am I supposed to be, what am I supposed to be still about? What am I supposed to know that he's God? Think about who he is. Spend time listening to these different things that we're learning about him. And remember, you know what? He is with me. And it helps me be holy, but yes, it's also a comforting factor. I can rest. God knows all about it already. I can send my son or my child off to do this if I feel comfortable with doing it because of the fact that God's going to be with them. He's going to take care of things. And he says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he have made in the earth. And if you would go back and just consider all the different things that God has done, he can part the Red Sea, he can part the Jordan River, he can do all types of things. He can pull down the walls of Jericho in 7 days. He can do all these different things. What can he not do? And so rest in his presence, the remarkableness of his presence. And last but not least, reflecting on his presence. And I know the message is a little bit different than normal. It kind of all blends together. But if we will learn to remember, to reflect, be still and know that I am God. It keeps on going. It says here that I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And I love that. You know, he says, look, the day is coming. I'm going to be exalted. The day I'm going to be lifted up. And he thought about, when I go back to the story about Moses, and we thought about reading there because of the sake of time, we didn't. He told Moses, I'm going to get my glory on Pharaoh today. They're going to know. Now, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they didn't realize it till they were out in the middle of the Red Sea, and they couldn't go anywhere else. And they're realizing then, you know what? There is a God of the Hebrews. They had already been through the 10 plagues. They had already been through all those different things, but they never recognized that there was a God. They never saw him as the one true God. They never repented. They never put their faith in him. They never believed in him. And here's the point is, be still and know that I am God. If you're a Christian today, guess what? You can know that he's God, and he is one that is never going to leave you and never going to forsake you, and you can hold to him. You can be comforted by this. And like it said in verse number 2, I don't have to be afraid. I will not fear. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my all in all. And it continues on. It says, be still and know that I am God. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to be exalted. You go to Philippians chapter number 2. It talks about how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he will be lifted up. There is no name under heaven unlike Jesus Christ. But be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So there's three different selahs. There's one at the end of verse number 7, there's one at the end of verse number 11, and there's one at the end of verse number 3. I think if you want to break it down as an outline, you look about how he's in our presence and our trouble. In verse 1 through 3, you go down to verses all the way down, the next verses all the way down to verse number 7. You talk about how he's in our presence in the future, and then you go, he's in the presence even during evil times. Even if the world is raging, he's still God. He still promised that he will not leave us nor forsake us. The key is found right there in verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. So let's ask this question. How much have we been still this week? Let's just lay it out on the table and say, how much time have I spent realizing that he's God? Now, we should read our Bible. We should pray. But there is a time where we should lay aside all distractions. Now, that word still there, if you go look up, it even talks about being weak and feeble and the idea that we need strength there. And we understand that as we see how weak we are, how great he is, then we go out living in his strength and his might instead of living in our strength and our might. Be still. Take the time to be holy. Take the time to know him. Take the time to live for him. We live in a culture, and I know last Sunday morning we talked a lot about how the churches dropped the ball in a lot of ways, and this is one of the key areas where many Christians are weak and anemic. It's because they have not taken the time to be holy. They have not taken the time to just be still. You see those kids there, sometimes they're fidgeting, and you just wish that they would be still sometimes. Just, can't you just sit still for a second? You need to learn something here. Sit still. And maybe you know kids like that. And it's like God's looking at us and saying, aren't you going to take time to remember who I am? Yeah, there is a bunch of mess going on in the world, and we can blame this person, we can blame this person, we can blame this issue, we can blame this group of people and this group of people, and we can blame all their problems, but are there people taking time to be still and know, not just be still, but to know that he's God? And that's why he says, be still and know that I am God. Realize that you take the weakness that you have and you become strong through him because you rely on him. So how often have you been still this week? I'm talking about in the last 7 days. It's easy to make an excuse why I didn't get up early. It's easy to make an excuse why I didn't get a chance to read my Bible today. It's easy to make an excuse why I didn't spend time thinking about him. You're never going to have the strength you need. Remember, he's my refuge. He's my strength. If you don't take time to know he's God, you know what's going to happen? That refuge is going to be there, but you're not going to rely on him. Get the key there? Be still and know that I am God, then I know he's my refuge. I know he's my hiding place. I know he's my rock. I know he's my strong tower because I know that he's God. But when I don't take time to know that he's God, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to run from the shelter. I'm going to be having that hurricane party out throughout my life and say, yeah, I know all these problems. I know all the risk. I know this. I know that. I'll be just fine. But you're running from the refuge that God's giving you. It's right here. God says, I'm your refuge. I can be your strength. I can be a very present help. So whatever it is your need is today, he is present and he is able to help you. But when we turn around and we don't take time to realize he's God, we take time, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and blah, 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 and I live my life whatever way I want, how are we going to know what we can handle and what we need to depend on God for? He's supposed to be able to give us strength for all of it. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, that's great. That works fine. I get it. Do you know him today, though? You know, I know who I'm speaking to, many of you, and many of you I've heard your testimony personally. But there is a reality of the fact that we are in need of God and to be our refuge and our strength. And he's made a promise to those that are believers that says, hey, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. But not all people are believers. Not all people are children of God. Not all people know him. Now, some people will tell you, and you'll read, and especially when things about racism and things are going on, we're all God's children. That's not true. We're all God's creation. God created us all. But to become a child of God, you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have to recognize the fact that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid your sin debt for you. And you can put your faith and trust in him. You can turn to God and you can have a relationship with him. And that's something that you can cry out to God and ask God to save you from your sins. But don't think he's going to be your present help and your refuge if you don't know him personally. I encourage you to talk to somebody you can know spiritually, someone that you can trust. Or even go to the scriptures and look in the word of God. It recognizes that we're all sinners, that we're all in need of a savior. That Jesus Christ died for sins, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that he died so we could have life. And that way we can have our faith and trust in him. That's a decision you can make, the greatest decision in your life. But the key is, for those that are believers today, have you taken time to know that he's God? A few weeks ago, we said, hey, behold your God. Take a look at your God. See him high and lifted up. We looked at Isaiah and how when Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, only thing he could say is, you know what, Lord? I'm undone. Woe is me. I have unclean lips. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, whatever it is that you want, I'm there. That's a man who saw God high and lifted up. And if we will behold our God and see him high and lifted up, guess what's going to happen? He's going to be a refuge and strength because we're going to depend on him. Because we've took time to be still and not just be still and learn something. We took time to be still and know that he's God, to learn about him, to grow in our knowledge of him, to understand him. Now, who can tell, who knows the mind of God? No one does. We looked at that, our thoughts versus his thoughts last Sunday night. That's not the challenge, is to just say, I know that he's God and learn what we can. And that's what the Bible does. It reveals God to us. And will we understand everything? No. But he will give us exactly what he wants for us to be able to do what he's called us to do. This morning, how often have you been still and spent time to know that he is God? Let's pray.